treat to be given the start of the evening with a beautiful, beautiful rendition of many precious Christmas carols. And thank you so much for sharing with us. We encourage all of you, any of you that have musical gifts, talents, instrumental talents like that, please, please let us know about them so that we can use them for the glory of the Lord. So good to see you here tonight at First Baptist Glenville. If you're visiting with us tonight, thank you so much for being here. Welcome. So glad to have you. Would everyone else take a moment? Let's all stand as we begin our time together in fellowship with one another. And then we'll be led by a time of worship from our wonderful youth ministry. Right. Thank you so much. What a great, great time. God's people always fellowshipping, loving one another. Would you join me as we begin our worship time and the youth team comes forward in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for this being the third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday where we think of the shepherds. We remember the joy that was placed upon their lives when they heard that the King of all kings was being born just a little ways from them, and they were able to exit their fields with the sheep, come to the little town of Bethlehem and see the manger where you, our Savior, was born. Well, we thank you so much for this precious month, this whole time. Each and every single week we get to focus on the different aspects and areas of this precious season known as Christmas. We pray, Lord, your blessings upon the youth tonight as they lead us in worship, and may this all be a special time where we adore you and love you in a special way. Thank you for our dear pastor and his good word this morning in the morning service. And may you bless him and continue to bless our staff, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct First Baptist Glenville always to follow your path and your path alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, you can actually remain standing as we begin worship this evening. Shout out my crew right here, Emma, Anna, Grace. We're excited to be leading you guys to worship this evening. Give us some grace and bear with us. This is a makeshift setup that we have put together this evening to have some instruments and vocalists together. But at the end of the day, the early church didn't have guitars and drum sets, and they still praise the Lord. So I think we can do the same. So let's do it. You could have stepped into creation with fire for all to see. Put every tribe and nation to their knees. Arriving with the host of heaven in royal robe and crown, the rulers of the earth are bowing down. But you chose meekness over majesty, wrapped your power in humanity. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I owe to Jesus, the King. I've marched in all your glory into the heart of Rome and showed them splendor like they've never known. But you wrote a better story in humble Bethlehem, Creator in the arms of common man. You will die for us. Glory be to you alone, King who reigns from a manger throne. My life, my praise, everything I own to Jesus, the King on. To the cradle, from the cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God is overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. From heaven to the cradle, from cradle to the cross, let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. But the grave couldn't hold him, our God is overcome. Let heaven and nature sing, this is our King. All hail the King, all hail the King. Pray.
Forevermore.
Oh, well,
Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity to gather to worship you in song and praise and the spoken and the taught word. Thank you, Father, for all that you've blessed us with in so many ways, especially for the material possessions tonight. As we return your tithes and our offerings, we pray that you use them to bless your kingdom and to further it and to use it to spread the gospel of the birth of Jesus Christ and of his life and of his death and his resurrection. For in him we have power. And I thank you tonight for this time. May you be pleased with our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a lovely time being led in worship by our student ministry. Would y'all praise God for them? Okay, I want y'all to see this. Tonight after service, I have announcements I have to make. And I'm not forgetting this time. If I do, it's because I'm blind, not because forgetting. So, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, and listen, I know y'all have been having to do some Bible drills following along with me. We've been raising the screen during the message because we want y'all to be able to see this beautiful nativity scene that our, what do we call y'all? Beautification Committee put together. Wonderful, wonderful display. What a great reminder of our Lord Jesus during the message. So what that means, though, is that you can't slack off. You have to really follow along with us. So we are in Acts chapter 22. Acts is the book right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts. And we've been going through Acts over the last 10 months. This book of Acts has been a long one. We've skipped over some portions. We've really dug into some other portions. And tonight's message is on a passage that honestly I debated skipping over. Now, listen, when you're preaching through a book of the Bible, it's really tempting to preach through the really easy stuff and ignore the really hard stuff. But we can't do that. We have to really focus on what God's trying to teach us here. I think there's a common misconception that the early church had it all figured out. I don't say that to belittle them. I don't say that to say that we're better than them. I surely don't think that. But I think sometimes we go back and we go, those people are the most like what the church is supposed to be like because that's when the church was just started. I mean, it was the newest it could be. New doesn't always mean right. The church is a work in progress, and the church is still a work in progress and will continue to be a work in progress till the day that Jesus returns. So here we are in Acts chapter 22. We're going to read the end of chapter 22, beginning in verse 30, and we're going to go into chapter 23 through verse 11. It's not as much as it sounds like. There's only a couple verses in chapter 22 that we're reading, okay? So here we are, Acts chapter 22, beginning in verse 30. The next day, since he wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, he released him and instructed the chief priest and all the Sanhedrin to convene. He brought Paul down and placed him before them. Chapter 23, verse 1. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience to this day." The high priest Ananias ordered those who were standing next to him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall.
You are sitting there judging me according to the law, and yet in violation of the law are you ordering me to be struck? Those standing nearby said, do you dare revile God's high priest? I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest, replied Paul. For it is written, you must not speak evil of a ruler of your people. When Paul realized that one part of them were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the Sanhedrin, brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am being judged because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, and neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees affirm them all. The shouting grew loud, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party got up and argued vehemently. We find nothing evil in this man. What if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him? When the dispute became violent, the commander feared that Paul might be torn apart by them and ordered the troops to go down, take him away from them, and bring him into the barracks. Verse 11, the following night the Lord stood by him and said, have courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage, Lord. Thank you for your persistence, God. Your persistence to get this message across to us even when we're hard-headed, even when we act in God, well, I'm just going to call knucklehead behavior. God, you show so much grace in allowing us to still hear this message you have for us. God, we are so undeserving of hearing you, and yet you speak to us anyway. So God, tonight as you speak, would you prepare our hearts and our ears and our minds to hear and listen to you? And God, I pray that whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, that you will have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's point number one. Let's go ahead and start off with some notes, okay? Let's get your brain stimulated a little bit. Point number one is this. I have lived my life before God in good conscience. I have lived my life before God in good conscience. If you're wondering how to spell conscience, it's the one that's con science. That's how I remember it. Teachers in the room, am I right? That's right. I know, I checked. I'm just kidding. I mean, I'm not kidding. I did check, but I was prepared. Conscience. I have lived my life before God in good conscience. What is happening here? Here's the scene. Paul is standing before people who very well could kill him. In fact, in the passage before this, they are calling for him to be killed. They say things like, they fling their garments to the side and say, wipe this man off the face of the earth. This is not a petty little argument. This is not a petty little dispute. I want to be careful how I say this. I grew up in a family where if there was a holiday, we all got together. And if we all got together, there was a fight. Every year, every event, it could be someone's birthday, could be Christmas, it didn't matter, someone's in a fight. Sometimes this was a physical fight, sometimes it was a verbal fight, sometimes it was all of it together, right? This is how it always went. When people come together, conflicts happen. So here's what you need to know. Conflict is always going to happen in life. It's always going to happen in the life of a church too, in the early church and in the modern church. Conflict is always going to be about. Why? Because people are involved. And we are sinful. And where there is sin, there's conflict. Because sin is not how it's supposed to be, but it's how it is. So Paul is saying here, we see verse 30 in chapter 22. The next day, since he wanted to find out exactly why Paul was being accused by the Jews, who is asking this? It's the commander of the Romans who is interviewing. He's taken Paul back into the barracks or this area because it's a mess out there. I mean, they're wipe him off the face of the earth. That's not something you just say casually. It almost sounds like it's right out of a comic book. Like if someone said that today, you would think something's wrong with that guy. No one talks like that. No one talks that. Well, maybe some people do, but people don't talk that aggressively, right? And he instructed the chief priests and all the Sanhedrin to convene. He brought Paul down and placed him before them. Chapter 23, verse 1. Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "Brothers, I have lived my life before God in all good conscience to this day." What is he saying? Paul is making a claim here. I've done nothing wrong or deserving of this death you're trying to pin on me. I've done nothing wrong or deserving of being wiped off the face of the earth. Later, he's going to say, if there is any charge against me, it's bearing witness to the resurrection of the dead. Which, by the way, Paul would be the first one to say, guilty. I am guilty of that. I will bear witness of Jesus Christ resurrected all day long. I've lived my life before God in all good conscience to this day. What's the application for us, right? Because I think we read this and we go, yeah, like we know about this Paul guy in scriptures. Like, he's a great guy. He did a lot of good. What's the application for us? I think the application for us is when disputes do come, and they will come, can you live your life in good conscience before God? What have you done to contribute to the conflict? Are you in sin? If you are, turn from it. If you are not, trust God with the dispute. Paul is saying, I live my life before God in good conscience. There is nothing you can accuse me of that I'm going, yeah, I get that you want to kill me for that. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I'm aware that you feel this way toward me because of this. Paul's saying, I've lived my life in good conscience. And then we see point number two. Hope you're taking notes. This is a big point. A dispute broke out. A dispute broke out. This is going to span almost the entirety of our passage. This is going to span from verse 2 to verse 10. A dispute breaks out. Listen to what it says. The high priest Ananias ordered those who were standing next to him to strike him on the mouth. Do I need to explain that one? Here's what I want us to understand. This is a good practice for us. As you're reading scripture, a lot of times it's easy to just read this in a really calm, mellow way. That's not the situation that's happening. Here in the story, it is so intense that you have officials who believe in God, by the way, saying, strike him in the mouth. Punch him in the mouth. Bless you. Punch him in the mouth. Do whatever you can. Shut this man up. I'm tired of it. That's what they're saying. This is the scene. And so while we're reading this text, and in these words, they don't have bold or italics to kind of show us the emphasis of what's happening in the story, we can read clearly within the context, this is tense. And this is not some small dispute. It is a large, large dispute. Verse 3, then Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. You are sitting there judging me according to the law, and yet in violation of the law are you ordering me to be struck. What is Paul saying here? He is saying, you have grown so indifferent and so you've been so misled that you would order me to be struck. In fact, the same law, the same reason you're saying punch him in the mouth is the same reason you are in violation of the law you're telling me to follow. Here's kind of another way to put it. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs never make a right. What's the application for us here? If someone wrongs you, do not wrong them back. Show grace. Show mercy. Scripture would say that we heap burning coals over someone's head when we show them grace. Show grace. Not for the purpose of heaping burning coals on their head, but for the purpose of God has shown me grace, I must show grace. God has shown me love and favor that I do not deserve. Let me do the same. Verse 4. Those standing nearby said, do you dare revile God's high priest? I did not know, brothers, that he was the high priest, replied Paul, for it is written, you must not speak evil of a ruler of your people. So here's what's happening. You have this dialogue going back and forth, and it's not just between Paul and the high priest of the Sanhedrin. Everyone's involved, right? Strike him in the mouth. You whitewashed wall. Do you dare talk to him that way? I didn't know he was that guy. I mean, this is how this is all playing out. Verse 6. When Paul realized that one part of them were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the Sanhedrin, "Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am being judged because of the hope of the resurrection of the dead." When he said this, a dispute broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. Here's what's happening, and this is crazy. I have to believe that God gave Paul wisdom in this moment. And no, I am not saying that Paul acted the best he could have in this situation. Right, and I think we got to understand Scripture in that way too, right? Just because the main character that we're following in the story did something, this is by no means is God saying, this is okay to do. This is acceptable. In fact, Scripture is filled with people living sinful lives and God showing mercy anyway, right? The only person we see act perfectly is Jesus. So what happens? Paul realizes, you guys are all together against me, but you don't even believe the same thing. You have Pharisees and you have Sadducees. Here's the easiest way to remember this, okay? The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see? Easy. You'll never forget it the rest of your life. There's the Sadducees They disregard the supernatural, essentially. Angels, the resurrection, all of it, no. We don't believe in that. We don't attest to that. The Pharisees do, right? And so now they are in this argument, not with Paul anymore, with each other. Now all of a sudden the room, Paul is not the target. Now they're going, what if an angel said something to this man? Now we're saying he's guilty. Now all of a sudden the Pharisees' wheels are turning, and now we're seeing maybe we're doing wrong by this guy. Maybe God did send this man here to us. And the Sadducees are going, no way. There's not an angel that talked to that man because we don't believe that an angel does that. He's saying the hope of the resurrection. We don't believe in the resurrection. Verse 9, the shouting grew loud, and some of the scribes of the Pharisees' party got up and argued vehemently. This word vehemently, let me think of the best way I can describe it that would be really understandable. This argument had some stank on it. I mean, it was like, here's the best analogy I can give you, okay? One of the best gifts we got when we got pregnant with Grayson was a diaper genie. A diaper genie, for those of you who don't know, is this magical device that somehow traps dirty diaper smell in a garbage can. It's beautiful. Here's the thing, though. I feel like it wears off. So now when we walk in Grayson's room, if that diaper genie's full, it stinks. I mean, it almost makes you want to turn around. All right, good morning. Oh, never mind. Sorry, Grayson. Sit in it. This argument is so reviling. To say they are arguing vehemently is to say that they are, it holds the same connotation as when we are told to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our might. Just like you are to love the Lord your heart, Lord your God, not your heart. Your heart is not your Lord. If it is, you're sinning. Just like we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our might and all of our strength and all of everything in us, they are using this same effort in this dispute. We find nothing evil in this man. What if a spirit or angel has spoken to him? Again, this is the Pharisees. When the dispute became violent, which is, it's funny because here in the narrative, here in the story, we're being told, now it's becoming violent. he just got told to be punched in the mouth. I mean, at what point do you call something violent? Maybe their standards are a little different than ours. Maybe it was like my family growing up where someone gets punched and you're like, oh, happy Easter. When the dispute became violent, the commander feared that Paul might be torn apart by them and ordered the troops to go down, take him away from them, and bring him into the barracks. And here is point number three tonight. The Lord stood by him. The Lord stood by him. Him is Paul. The Lord stood by Paul. Here's what verse 11 says. The following night. Okay. As I was preparing for this message, I put myself in the shoes of Paul, right? And I'm thinking, or the sandals, I don't know what he's wearing. I put myself in the chacos of Paul, and I thought to myself, how would my day go if here one night, you know, I'm being threatened, I'm being told all these things, I'm being told to be wiped off the face of the earth, and then a whole day goes by. The next day. Now, some of us may read this and go, a day's not that long. Yes, it is. A day can be brutal when you are not doing well. A day can be terrible when you are just told, wipe this man off the face of the earth. And here's how God responds. So in this situation so far, we have seen Paul's response, the Sanhedrin's response, and now we see God's response. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, have courage, for as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so it is necessary for you to testify in Rome. Here's the message God tells Paul. By the way, this idea of standing by him, we don't really know what that means, right? It's kind of like how the Lord walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, right? God the Father doesn't have a physical body, but yet his presence is there with them. His presence is palpable. It's tangible. And he says, have courage, just as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so is necessary for you to testify in Rome. What's God saying? All this you're going through, all of this, it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan, and have courage, because I am standing with you. Here's my challenge to us tonight. No matter what hardships you're going through, no matter what struggles you have, no matter what disputes you have, there's a couple questions you have to ask yourself. Am I in good conscience before the Lord? And it's the Lord standing by me because there's a mission that needs to be accomplished. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the way that you minister to us and care for our hearts and stand with us. God, I just pray that tonight as we seek to worship you in spirit and truth and we seek to love you with all that we are, I just pray, God, that you will God, you will help us see that you stand with us, that we need you, and that you alone are to be worshipped. Father, I pray tonight that as we sing one more song, Lord, may the cry of our hearts be that you are holy and that we need you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand with us, church, and we'll close with a song.
Triumphant, oh come ye, oh. name shall be Wonderful Counselor. His name shall be Everlasting Father. His name shall be Prince of Peace, Mighty God. His name shall be Emmanuel. Praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever.
Church family, I'm going to pray for us to close out our service, and then we will enter into church conference. By the way, at the end of church conference, I encourage you to stop by the fellowship hall, and our extension committee has gifts that they have put together for our shut-ins. And so we would love your help delivering some of those gifts to them, spending some time there, having conversation with those people. As we just love on them as the church. So we thank our extension committee for putting that together. Again, that will be after church conference. You can go over to the fellowship hall and pick up all of that. Let me pray for us, and then we'll enter into church conference. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, I pray that the song we sang is true, that we will praise your name forever. Father, as we are about to enter into this church conference time, Lord, I pray that you are honored and glorified in it all. And Father, I pray for our visits with these shut-ins as we deliver these good gifts. Father, I pray that you would bless our conversation and that these people would feel loved on the way that you have loved them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite our Chairman of Deacons, Dennis Odom, up. So just as a reminder, tonight we are discussing budget for 2024, and we are discussing the selling of the property that Emmanuel, our Spanish church, is on. So Dennis, would you go ahead and come up and lead us?
All right, we'll start off with the approval of the budget tonight. I'll ask Derek to come up in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about the committee. Derek and Jeff and then Trey worked very hard on this budget. There was, in past years, it's mainly been updating numbers and maybe bringing them up to date for far as inflationary and all that stuff. But this year was a lot different because we got 3 full-time staff members now. We had to make adjustments to that. And took a hard look at a lot of the items that were somewhat outdated, maybe as far as the amounts we gave and the purpose of them. But so I bring this budget before you tonight by recommendation of the budget committee, and also recommending it to the deacon body because they also recommended it. And I'll ask Derek before we vote if he'll come up at this time and go over some highlights of it and answer any questions we might have.
Okay, as Dennis said, the committee this year was Jeff Odom, Trey James, and myself, and I thank them for all their hard work. Can't go without giving a shout out to Miss Bonnie Weeks. She gathered so much information for us so we could do our job, so we really appreciate her. Thanks to Brandon, he met with us a couple of times and gave us some insight on some thoughts that he had, so we thank them for their help. If you are a chairperson of a committee, one of us probably approached you and asked you if you could shave a little off your budget so we could come up with a realistic budget this year. And everybody so graciously agreed, so we thank you for that. So through that, we were able to decrease our budget this year of 6.7%. So thank y'all for that. I won't bore you with every line item. I do have 5 or 6 highlights that I want to go over with you. Starting out with the cooperative program, we have been given 15% for a long time, and we have been one of the biggest givers, if not the biggest giver, to that program. This year, through a lot of discussion, we decided to cut that to, or given to 10%, which is still a big chunk of our budget. So we will still be given $53,356 to the Crawford program this year. On the associational missions, we normally give 3.5%. We cut that to 3.2%. Dennis Odom happens to be on that budget committee for the associational missions, so we had some talks with him. So we cut that by $1,737. Not a big cut, but just a little bit that would help us out there. Hispanic Mission Church, as you know, we're going to be voting on the sale of that in just a minute, so that line item will be going away. We did enter some, put some money in that line item before we knew we had it sold, just to keep up the property, grass cutting, anything else that might come up out there. Cincinnati Mission Support. You know, the church voted to support the Cincinnati Mission for, I think, 4 or 5 years, maybe 5 years, through monetary giving. We've got 2 years left in that. So each year we have been cutting that down by $6,000. So for year 2023, we give $18,000. So in 2024, we have cut that to $12,000. And then in 2025, it will go down to $6,000, and that will end our monetary support for the Cincinnati Missions. Of course, we'll still support them any way that we can through prayers or whatever needs they may have. One other highlight I have is the radio publicity. You know, there's so much social media out there. We used to run all of our services on the radio, but with so much social media out there, we decided to cut the radio out. I mean, it's streamed live on Facebook, just other avenues you can see different things. So through that, we were able to cut that from $10,000 this past year to $3,000 for the year 2024. And that $3,000 will be to cover publicity, newspapers, different things like that. I think we do still get a plug on the radio system, First Baptist Church. Everything else is self-explanatory. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. You know, this budget doesn't work unless we're obedient. You know, we have to be obedient to make this budget work. God commands us to give 10%, so I just encourage you to be obedient in your giving. Thank you.
Like I said, this came as a recommendation from the Budget Committee and the Deacon Body, so all in favor of accepting the budget as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. All right, the next thing we wanted to take care of was the Hispanic ministry. Some of you are not familiar with that. For years, we had a ministry out in Long County, bought a piece of property out there and was able to set up a couple of buildings and started building another one, and that just, for numerous reasons, didn't work out. But I think we did the time we spent out there. I think we planted some seeds, and I think we did what we could do. But like a lot of other ministries, it faded, and I think God had a reason for that happening. I don't question that, but it did. And now we put this property up for sale, and we've received an offer of $100,000, right? Minus the fees that go to the realtor. And we didn't only paid, I think, a fraction of that for it. Of course, we did a lot of improvements out there. But we needed to do something with that. And with that money, we're looking at doing a project possibly through here, leveling out this floor where people can walk straight back into without having to go up and down. So we're looking at that now. We're trying to get in touch with some folks that can kind of help us plan that project. So that's one of the things we're looking at doing with what the money we get from this. We haven't decided that yet, but we are looking into it. So with that said, did anybody have any questions? This came as a recommendation again from the deacon body. So anybody have any recommendation, any questions about the sale of the property before we vote? All right, all in favor of selling this property, say aye.
Aye.
And opposed, say nay. All right. Well, thank you all for being here. Yes, ma'am. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Oh, over here. Yeah, we're looking at doing something with that. We're looking into it right now, actually. Anything else?
The sidewalk and the walkways around, I noticed one of them is really in bad shape. Now,
yeah. Okay. We'll look into that. We'll remember that. The deacons that are here next time we talk, we'll talk about that. All right. Anything else? All right. Well, I'll dismiss us with a word of prayer then. Father, we come tonight just thanking you for the many blessings you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year that we can celebrate your birth, Lord. And we just thank you for we can carry this business out. We pray, Lord, that all the decisions we make would be in your will. And we pray that you keep us safe tonight in this weather and help us get back home and safely and have a good week, Lord. And thank you again for all your blessings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.